Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome back for another week of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we get a brand new week off and rolling after a busy weekend, to say the least. We talked a lot about Saturday's big day. We had everything from the Kentucky Derby all the way down to a prize fight big showdown at T-Mobile Arena. Canelo Alvarez knocking out Amir Khan to open up that brand new arena in Las Vegas. We had Nyquist winning the Triple Crown. NBA playoffs just continue on, and the series in Oklahoma City and San Antonio is definitely heating up. We'll talk about all that and more in just a bit. We'll start by talking about the breaking news in the NBA. Came out just a little while ago. Stephen Curry repeating as NBA MVP. Really no shock here. Steph played fantastic throughout the year. It was an historical season for this guy. And that's not an overstatement. An historical season indeed. I'll tell you where Steph Curry won the MVP. He won it with about the 9 to 10 game stretch following the All-Star break, where he was shooting like 56% from the field, 56% from downtown. He was averaging 6 makes from beyond the arc. That's when he won the MVP. Because going into the All-Star break, we were talking about the just an incredible year that he and the Golden State Warriors were having. Remember, they won 24 games to start off the season. And then he continued that past the All-Star break. Golden State didn't play their best basketball there for about 10 games, but because of Steph Curry, they managed to accumulate wins after the All-Star break during a downstretch. No doubt in my mind that this guy right here is the MVP of the league. Not talking about who's the best player in the league. I still think that crown goes to LeBron James. But the most valuable player, hands down, it's Steph Curry. And I think we've seen that in the NBA playoffs. You look at what the Warriors have done without Steph Curry out on the court. Suffered a loss to Houston. Suffered a loss to Portland. Very important game tonight without Steph Curry. And then I think it's simple. You just look at what this kid was able to accomplish last year. Look at what his team was able to accomplish last year. And look where they're sitting this year. Golden State wins 67 games last year. They win 73 this year. Steph Curry hits a ridiculous 286 three-pointers last year. He hits 402 this season. I mean, that's unbelievable to think about. He definitely was the most valuable player in the NBA. Again, you talk about that 24-0 start, 73-win season. And if Steph Curry's healthy, they probably get back to the NBA championship this year. It's a big if, though. Got to make sure this guy is healthy. So again, Steph Curry, your back-to-back NBA MVP, the 13th player in league history to win back-to-back MVPs since 2000, the only other players to do so, LeBron James, Steve Nash, Tim Duncan. It's not too shabby. We'll continue on with news coming out of the NBA. Did not take long for former Memphis Grizzlies head coach Dave Yeager to find a new team. The Sacramento Kings named Yeager the team's head coach today. The Kings did not disclose the details, but according to ESPN, it's a 4-year deal worth about $16 million. The fourth year of the contract is a team option. I was baffled when Memphis let this guy go. Quickly emerged as a top candidate for Sacramento. And according to King's sources, they really had been intrigued to the idea of hiring Yeager away from the Grizzlies, and they'd actually sought permission to talk to him. That was part of the reason why Memphis cut ties with him to make him a coaching free agent. I was baffled that Memphis didn't want to lock this guy up long term. I mean, you look at where Memphis was, and they battled in the postseason. Nobody expected a whole lot out of the Grizzlies because they were just destroyed, decimated by injuries. And I don't know if you would recall this or not, but it was earlier in the season, and I think this has a lot to do with it. He really upset a lot of people within the Memphis organization when he referred to his team as a bit old. I think the quote was, "We're a little bit old," I think was the quote, if I can remember correctly. But he had only one more year guaranteed on his contract in Memphis, and it would have paid him about $2 million, well below where, you know, head coaches are making what they're making today. So I think this is probably a win-win for everyone involved, including Sacramento, because the Kings get rid of George Karl. I think Jaeger's a guy that can really motivate young players, and you're going to need somebody like that with DeMarcus Cousins. If you plan on making Boogie Cousins your future, you need a coach that's going to be able to appeal to him. And I think the Kings, they believe they found somebody that can do that. So now only time will tell. But again, the Memphis Grizzlies, they have a brand new coach, Dave Jaeger, former head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's take a look around and see what else is happening. As far as the NBA playoffs go tonight, we get two games beginning at 6 o'clock. Toronto taking on Miami. This series gets interesting. Toronto now leads 2-1. No Hassan Whiteside. No Jonas Valanciunas. This is an interesting series. I really think this is quite simple for Toronto. If Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan can shoot around 45 to 50%, they win, especially without Hassan Whiteside. Not only is Miami down Whiteside, but we can't forget about Chris Bosh. So now you have two huge difference makers in the post, both out. That does not spell anything but disaster in my mind for Miami. This game is in Miami, and again, tip-off is set for 6 p.m. And then Golden State taking on Portland. Now, no Steph Curry in tonight's game. This is what makes this series really interesting. Portland is very good at home. And I know they're into the second round because of default, some bad injuries to the Clippers. But you look at what Portland was able to accomplish during the regular season, 28-13 and at home, and they had some really big wins at the Moda Center. They win Game 3. Damian Lillard was fantastic in that game. And let's not forget, Draymond Green was pretty good as well. But the Blazers played great basketball. Lillard was 14 of 27 in that game for 40 points. You're going to need that type of effort to beat Golden State. Let's be real. But still, with Steph Curry out for tonight's game, if Portland finds a way to get a victory, it's a best 2 out of 3 set. And then all bets are off. Huge game tonight. Golden State needs to take care of business. For those of you out there hoping that Cleveland does not win an NBA championship, you need Golden State to win this game tonight. I think they win the series regardless. I don't think Portland would win a game 7, you know, in Oracle. But a win tonight makes things very, very interesting. In fact, it's maybe too close for comfort for a team like Golden State. We'll see. Again, tonight, tip-off for that game is set 4:30. Let's jump over, take a look at Major League Baseball. No day baseball games, but a full slate that will begin right after Drive Time Sports. In the 5 o'clock hour, Detroit at Washington, interleague matchup there. Anibal Sanchez will go up against Steven Strasburg. Kansas City is at New York, talking about the Yankees. Oakland at Fenway, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, Milwaukee on the road to take on Miami. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock at Chicago at Texas. San Diego at the Cubbies. The Cubs just playing lights out. John Lester will take to the mound tonight for the Cubs. Baltimore will be at Minnesota. Cleveland at Houston. Arizona at Colorado. 8:10 tonight, we'll get Tampa Bay at Seattle. We'll get the Mets at the Dodgers. And then the Blue Jays on the road to take on the San Francisco Giants. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk local baseball. The Emory Spartans, boy, they played unreal over the weekend. They sneak into the state tournament. They get in by defeating San Juan in the play-in game. And then they knock off the number one seed and then defeat Kanab. So now Emory's in the quarterfinals, two wins away from playing for a state championship. Well, that's a heck of a run for this baseball squad. We'll talk a little Emory Spartan baseball. We'll also get you set up for the state tournament in the 3A ranks. Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dinos is going to join us in studio. So we got a packed show coming up for you. Plus, we'll recap what went down in the world of NASCAR Saturday here on KOAL. It's all straight ahead here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Despite entering the state tournament, the number 4 seed from the East region, the Emory Spartan baseball team advanced to the semifinals of the 2A state championship tournament after pulling off not one, but two upsets on Saturday afternoon. Emory started off the weekend by knocking off the number 1 seed South Sevier Rams 5-4 in a thriller. Tell Gardner earned the win on the mound, and Bryce Dugmore and Easton Gordon both knocked doubles as Emory was out hit 10-6, but still managed to find a way to grab the 5-4 victory. The win set Emory up in the second round. They went toe-to-toe with Kanab, where they grabbed a 9-6 victory to advance to the semifinals. This is nothing new for the Emory Spartans. They've been competing for state championships, winning 2 out of the last 3 years. Emory will look to continue their winning ways when they return to the field on Thursday to meet North Sevier in St. George. Emory shares the same region with North Sevier in the east. The North Sevier Wolves won both meetings with Emory earlier this season. A win for Emory on Thursday would put them 1 win away from the state championship contest. They'll take on either Enterprise or the winner from Summit Academy and Gunnison. The Spartans will get things rolling on Thursday again at North Sevier. Start time for that game is set for 1:30 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Emory baseball team throughout the week. We stick with baseball, but we switch up schools, where Friday the Carbon Dinos suffered a 4-3 loss to the Juab Wasps in the regular season finale, locking Carbon into third place from Region 12. Falling behind early 3-0, Carbon battled back. They cut the deficit to just 1 run going into the fourth inning, but that's as close as the Dinos would get. Despite the loss, Cole Fawcett finished with a double, and Anthony McLean also registered an extra base hit, knocking a double. Carbon finished with 6 hits, while Juab finished with 7. Now, while there are still games to be played in Region 12, Carbon will finish league action at 6-6, which puts them squarely in third place. Juab is sitting at 6-4. They're locked into second place, and Canyonview will walk away with the Region 12 championship. Carbon will participate in an exhibition contest tomorrow with their annual alumni game. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll catch up with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus to not only talk about the end of the season, but talk about the alumni game and what lies ahead for the team as they prepare for the state tournament. After earning 2 straight non-league wins, the Carbon Lady Dinos softball team suffered a 10-0 shutout loss at the hands of the Juab Wasps Friday afternoon, which will now set the stage for the final league game of the season. Carbon has been playing pretty good softball as of late, but they were unable to muster up any offense in Friday's defeat. As it stands right now, Carbon is in a battle for second place in Region 12. Right now, the Dinos are 4-3. They are tied with North Sam Pete. Again, they'll wrap up regular season play when they meet the Juab Wasps on Tuesday. Tomorrow, Juab has already clinched a Region 12 championship. They sit at a perfect 6-0. Carbon right now is also in a battle with Canyonview, who sits in fourth place at 4-4. We'll have more on the softball season later on in the week. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Tomorrow, we'll visit the track and field scene as well as USU Eastern Baseball. They wrapped up the regular season over the week. So plenty to talk about in all avenues of local sports. Also, make sure you visit a KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. for exclusive local sports content with Drive Time Sports. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Time for some local baseball talk. Here on the show, we get a brand new week off and rolling. Now, as you heard during that last break, the Emory Spartan baseball team, they grabbed not one but 2 big victories in the opening round of the 2A State Championship Tournament. You can get the full game recap from both games at CastleCountryRadio.com. Also on Friday, the Carbon Dinos, they wrapped up the regular season. Didn't end on the best of notes. They lose a heartbreaker to Juab, which leaves their future a little bit in limbo. We know they're going to the state tournament. We just don't know who they'll be going up against. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have head coach Jeff Cincinnatus. Coach, always great to get you in.
Oh, good to get back in, Jordan. Thanks.
Yeah, definitely. The regular season, it's over. Went by in a hurry for you guys. 6-6, you finished the league season. I know you had an opportunity to lock up the 2 seed, or at least come close to locking up the 2 seed on Friday against Juab. Unfortunately, those 3-game sweeps, they're hard to complete.
Yeah, they are. No matter what team you're playing, it seemed like this year they were awful hard to complete, and you know, hard for just about everybody to beat somebody 3 times, no matter how good you are or you know what the circumstances are. But yeah, we definitely had a chance Friday. A win at Juab definitely would have locked up the 2 seed for us in our region. Didn't happen. We lose a really tight 4-3 ball game. Now we're kind of sitting here waiting to see what Juab does with a couple makeup games that they didn't finish up during the regular season. They have a game today with Canyonview and a game tomorrow with Richfield, which for Canyon View and Richfield doesn't mean a whole lot. They've locked up the number one and number four seed regardless, but these two games for JUAB, they mean a lot for JUAB and for us. So, you know, we'll see how those games go. We kind of had the opportunity to, you know, decide where we go and what we do, and, you know, that's out of our hands now. But either way, we'll either take the third seed or, you know, maybe get the two seed.
You know, you look at it as a whole at the beginning of the season. I know you predict, well, I'm not going to say you predicted, but the coaches predicted that Carbon would finish second in Region 12. Was it predictable that this region would be this good front to back? Because Richfield is a four seeds, a team I wouldn't want to play in the state tournament.
Yeah, we are. You know, we are a pretty good region. I mean, if you look at it, I honestly think, you know, we could be the second best region next to Cedar City and St. George and them, top to bottom anyway. But you know, the surprise team to me was JUAB this year. And you know, JUAB made a coaching change six games into the season this year. Fired their head coach after the preseason games. Brought in their current head coach. And I'm going to be honest, their current head coach has done a great job with their team. He's turned their attitude around. The kids are playing extremely hard. He's got some baseball knowledge, obviously. Understands the game and situations, and has really changed the look of their team. And I knew going in that they had the athletes, but just from playing them in the summer and playing them last year, I didn't feel like they were a threat, you know, to win a region title. I actually thought Richfield was, you know, going to be a bigger threat for everybody because of their athletes and the Torgerson kid who's a left-handed pitcher for them. But so JUAB is a real surprise, I think, for everybody. And anybody who gets them in the next round, you know, is going to find out that they're a pretty good baseball team. You know, we were fortunate to win two games here at home last week with them. Great ball games, you know, a 1-0 game in nine innings and then a 3-2 ball game to follow that up, and then we lose the 4-3 ball game. So all one-run games and all really well-played games when you look at it from, you know, a baseball perspective. Not a lot of errors and, you know, some good plays on both sides and good pitching. So, you know, I give a lot of credit to JUAB and their coaching staff for kind of turning their program around early season and making it what it is. And so I didn't really see them at the beginning of the year being where they're at right now. But we talked off air, and that's why you play the game, and you play every game, and every game matters. You know, they're kind of getting a little bit of a break, I think, right now, even though they got to play two games this week. You know, for these games to not mean anything for Canyon View and Richfield, as far as standings go, I don't see Canyon View or Richfield, you know, maybe pitching their best pitchers and putting a lot of thought into winning either one of those games. So that could be a break for JUAB because they do mean a lot for JUAB and for us. But, you know, we had our opportunity to control our own destiny, and we gave that opportunity up. A real bad loss at North San Pete a couple weeks ago. You know, the loss at Richfield, at their place where we got 10 run, and then of course the loss on Friday. Those are all games that we controlled, and we didn't take advantage of our opportunity, and that's why we're in the situation we're in right now.
Is it nerve-wracking? I guess in this case it wouldn't be too nerve-wracking. I mean, you know you're going to the state tournament, but yet scoreboard watching is never fun. Nobody ever wants to do that.
No, as a coach, you want to worry more about what your team's doing and not doing, and I've always kind of prided myself as a coach to do that, but yet in the back of your mind, you are watching what other teams are doing, and obviously right now, you know, we're watching what JUAB does the next 2 days, and it's unfortunate, but I'm still, regardless if we take second or third, I'm still more worried about the Carbon High baseball team than I am about who we're playing or anything else. It's been a year where we've just been so inconsistent day in and day out, and inning to inning, game to game, I mean, you name it, we've just been really inconsistent, and I thought for the most part in the JUAB series here the last three games that we played pretty consistent. It wasn't maybe the best. We didn't hit the ball the best that I feel like we could, but we were really consistent. Our pitching was consistent all three games. Our defense was consistent. And realistically, our hitting was consistent. It just wasn't great. But, you know, to have some consistency in our team right now makes me feel a little bit more comfortable heading into the state playoffs. You know, would I rather that we were putting 20 runs on the board? I mean, obviously, every coach wants that. But I'm really happy that we are a little bit more consistent than we were earlier in the year. And hopefully, you know, that consistency will pay off. And and we'll get things done in the next couple weeks.
Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbondale baseball team, our guest right now. Coach, if we look forward to the state tournament, it's not rocket science. I mean, teams that have success in this type of tournament with this current format, they win the first two games because there's so much baseball to be played in a seven-game time frame if you lose one of the first two games, and a lot of teams just don't have the pitching to be able to handle that.
Yeah, the first, you know, winning these first two games is so important, and, you know, we were fortunate last year to do that, and, you know, then went to the next round and lost the next two. But, you know, if you're going to come through the loser's bracket in this type of format, you know, with the quality of teams that 3A has, it's awful tough. And I look at it this year, and I don't think there's a team in 3A, you know, obviously somebody could come through the loser's bracket, but there's not a team in 3A that's really got three standout pitchers on their team. There's a couple teams that have two really good pitchers, and a lot of us have one really good pitcher. It might be a year in 3A where the pitching's down a little bit compared to where it's been. I thought last year there were a handful of teams that could have came through a loser's bracket because of the pitching they had, and I just don't see that this year. But, pitching's always important, and, you know, hitting goes a long ways with pitching. If you can back up a mediocre pitcher with a lot of good hitting, I mean, you're going to go somewhere too. But dropping in the loser's bracket the first weekend is going to make it extremely tough for anybody to come through a loser's bracket. And I just see some dominant teams with at least two good pitchers this year that I don't see that happening with a loser coming through.
So with all that being said, going into the first round of the state tournament, do you try, obviously, you try to limit your starting, your innings for your starting pitchers as much as possible, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, your first, if we all play on Saturday, all of your innings would start over again for the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday when you move on. So, you know, as far as the innings go, you're not really concerned, you know, too much. Just a matter of, you know, what kind of shape is your pitcher's arms in and things like that. Obviously, you want them at full speed, but, you know, you're going to do everything you can to win those two games next Saturday, knowing that your pitching does start over. It starts over on Sunday. The pitching records for the state go from Sunday to Saturday. So, you know, anything that goes on from Sunday to Saturday counts as a week. So, you know, it'll all start over again for us. But, yeah, you want your pitcher's arms healthy. I mean, you know, we've got some kids right now are still nursing some sore arms, and, you know, you want to help them along and whatnot. But, I mean, you got to do everything you can to win those two games. And, you know, first and foremost, you got to win at least one game to get out of the weekend. And we don't want to be the one team in our pod that doesn't come out of the weekend, you know, with a win. So we're going to do everything we can to win that first game. And if we're unfortunate there, we're going to do everything we can to win the second one, you know, regardless of who has to pitch and who does what, because there is no tomorrow if you don't win a game next Saturday.
Coach, let's move off of the state tournament talk here for just a moment. The local area, they'll have one more chance to take a look at this baseball team before you guys go to the state tournament. This is always a fun deal. You guys have an alumni game. It's kind of an annual event, and it'll take place tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to have an alumni game. We had one last year. It actually is a game that I have to schedule, you know, on our schedule as a game. They don't just let us, you know, have fun and just play an alumni game without it being scheduled. So I had an opening this week on our varsity schedule where we couldn't get anybody that wanted to come down and play us this week. Everybody likes to play a game this week, and I would have definitely taken a game had I could have got somebody to come this way. I didn't want to travel, knowing we're going to travel on Saturday. But we're going to have an alumni game again. Last year, I thought it was a good game for our guys. They got to see some really good pitching and really good competition. This alumni team will be made up of ex-Carbon and ex-Helper American Legion players. And, you know, we've got 10 or 11 guys lined up to come down and play tomorrow against our high school team. And I think they're going to give them a good look at some really good pitching. Some guys are going to throw a little bit harder than maybe what they've even seen this year and try and get us prepared, you know, to go up this weekend. I know the guys coming in for the alumni game are kind of viewing it as a fun opportunity to get back out and play. But I'm viewing it, and our team's going to view it as a chance to get better. And it's not going to be something that we're just kind of out screwing around and taking time off. We're going to play it extremely hard. We're going to get all our pitchers some time, and we're going to play it as serious as we can to get better this week. And, you know, obviously don't want to have anybody get hurt. And you start messing around and not playing hard and going full speed, that's when you have injuries happen. And so, you know, we're going to take this opportunity to play this like any other game that we'd be playing this week. And, you know, hopefully it goes off for us and helps us out. It's going to be at 6 p.m. tomorrow at the Helper Legion Field. So, you know, I invite anybody who's not doing anything tomorrow to come out. I mean, you're going to see some really good ex carbon high in American Legion baseball players, guys who, you know, won a state title in high school while they were here at Carbon. You know, we got Joe V is going to play. You know, he's going to give it a go around again. Joe's getting up there a little bit, but always competitive. You know, Brady Martinez may make it down to play and do a little pitching against us. You know, we're talking about a guy who won a state title here, went on to pitch in college and went on to pitch in the minor leagues and had a great baseball career. And we're hoping he gets a chance to break away and come down and maybe, you know, maybe throw at our team a little bit. And then some guys who, you know, won, you know, a couple of Legion state titles in the past few years, you know, guys that can actually play the game and are really going to push our high school team and hopefully make us better. So, again, that's a 6 p.m. start, and, you know, hopefully the weather's nice tomorrow and people can get a chance to come out. And, you know, Legion Park looks really, really good right now. You know, the rain we've had the last few weeks have really greened it up, and I think the park's in almost as good a shape as it's ever been. And, you know, kind of exciting to keep playing baseball on that field. It's just it's a special place, and, you know, just a great opportunity to, again, see the high school team and see some of these guys that just got through playing ball here in the last few years.
Coach, it is always fun to get you in. Definitely appreciate the time. Best of luck as you guys prepare for the state tournament. And I know we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, we'll get back in and talk. Like we talked off air a little bit, we'll talk a little bit more about this in the future. But we are going to have another season of Helper American Legion Baseball this summer. Last year we stepped away from it and didn't have an opportunity to play. We did some other stuff, and you know, we're going to get a chance this summer again to bring American Legion Baseball back to Helper. And I'm excited about that. We'll also have a younger team that'll participate in, you know, Utah's Perfect Game League like we did last year. So plan on running two baseball programs this summer and trying to get all the kids in our area an opportunity in both Emory County as well to get some baseball. And, you know, not to get off the subject too much, but want to congratulate Emory High on their two wins this past weekend in their opening round of the state tournament, you know, going up against the number one seed and getting a win with South Sevier, and then follow that up with Kanab. You know, it's a great job by Coach Gordon, and want to wish those kids the best of luck in the upcoming week as they finish up their state tournament. And, you know, hopefully we represent Carbon County well, and we can go up and do the best we can on Saturday and come away with a few wins and then continue the following week up at Kearns. But, again, you know, we will have Legion baseball back in the area this year, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later when we get back on and go over when some tryouts and things like that will be. But I'm excited about getting that back in our area.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of baseball still to come. So, Coach, again, thank you, and we'll catch up again with you next week.
Thanks, Jordan.
That's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Carbon Dino Baseball Squad. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over and talk some national sports. It was a very busy weekend. We have the NBA playoffs still in full motion, and Steph Curry named MVP for the second consecutive season. All that and more coming up here on Drive Time Sports. It's now time for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series update, and Saturday on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM, Kyle Busch beat Kevin Harvick to the finish line, meaning that Busch has now won at all but two Cup tracks on the circuit, Pocono Raceway and Charlotte Motor Speedway. Another impressive stat with Saturday's victory means that Kurt Busch has now won 8 out of the last 32 Cup point races, dating all the way back to Sonoma last June. During the same time period, no other driver has won more than 5 times. Coming in behind Harvick's second place finish was Kurt Busch in third. Matt Kenseth finished fourth. Ryan Blaney fifth. Austin Dillon sixth. Ryan Newman seventh. AJ Allmendinger eighth. Chase Elliott ninth. And Brad Keselowski tenth. Following his checkered flag performance, Kyle Busch sat down with the media and talked about his overall performance.
Yeah, it was a really great day. I didn't know that we'd have that much speed in our race car. I guess I should have known. But Adam and these guys, you know, they continue to impress me each and every week. We had a top five car going there in the beginning part and the middle part of the race, and we just kept making improvements to it, kept making it better. And there with about two runs to go, we got it on the tight side, and I felt like we had decent speed. I really didn't know what to do to make it any better. And then after that final pit stop, we kind of got on the free side and we're a little bit loose, and Matt was catching us there. And then those last couple cautions just gave us opportunity to kind of cool the tires down and go back at it again with some of those other guys, and they had tires, but you know, when you're out front and you focus on hitting your marks and hitting the restart and doing what you can do, then you get an opportunity to try to drive away. But Harvick was making it tough. He was right on my bumper there for a few laps, and I kind of pulled a slide job off turn four, cut it a little bit close. We touched a little bit, but after that, I kind of refocused on being able to hit my marks and hit the line that I was running before the caution came out, where I was really fast. And from there, I was just kind of been able to pull back away and do what I needed to do in order to try to win.
After securing his first victory at the Kansas Motor Speedway, Busch was asked if sometimes you question yourself as a driver, knowing that you've never won at a track.
To answer your question, but it was more so when we came off pit road. For some reason, I was a little bit loose and I was trying to take care of my tires and make sure I wasn't slipping them and overheating them, but Kenseth was catching me, and then I was like, okay, well, I got to go. I got to find some speed, and I wasn't able to find any. So at that moment, I was wondering, okay, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing different from the previous run, and why am I in this position? But fortunately, like I said, those couple restarts that we got, I just had a chance to regroup, resettle in, and get my car back underneath me, and that was a key for us.
Second place finisher Kevin Harvick also talked about his team's performance.
We had a good run today. Just really proud of my team for what they did from where the car was yesterday to change pretty much everything on the car and have it be that competitive on the racetrack today says a lot about our team. So, we went down some different roads throughout the weekend that didn't work, and we're able to go with what we normally run and be competitive. So just super proud of the effort and excited that we have the capability to do the things that we did today.
With the results of Saturday's race now in the books, Kevin Harvick is now at the top of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series standings. In second place is Kyle Busch, trailing Harvick by just 4 points. Carl Edwards is in third, Jimmy Johnson fourth, Kurt Busch fifth, Brad Keselowski sixth, Joey Logano seventh, Austin Dillon eighth, Dale Earnhardt ninth, and Martin Truex Jr. 10th. Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, A.J. Allmendinger, and Ryan Blaney round out the current field for the chase for the Cup. Ryan Newman and Casey Kane are on the outside looking in. NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Racing will make its return to KOAL this Sunday with the AAA 400 Drive for Autism live from Dover International Raceway. Again, live coverage will begin at 11:15. Remember, KOAL is your home for NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Racing.
Hey, it's Garrett Top. If you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Back here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. The first show after a very busy Saturday in the national sports world. You know, we talked about that boxing fight Friday in depth. Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan. Canelo is now the face of boxing. I'm okay with saying it. You're searching for that next star. We are in the post-Mayweather era. We're in the post-Pacquiao era. Canelo with a devastating right-hand knockout of Amir Khan in the sixth round. And I go back and I watch it over and over. I've watched this like 5 times now. And then I compare it to the last time Amir Khan was knocked out against Danny Garcia. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. Amir Khan looks horrible when he gets knocked out. Like both times. You wonder if this guy was alive when he hit the canvas. He actually fared quite well against Canelo for about 4 rounds. In fact, I had Amir Khan up on the scorecard. I had him up 3-2 going in to that sixth round. And he even actually had some moments in the sixth round. But following the fight, what everybody wanted to talk about is what is next for Canelo Alvarez. And it looks like it's going to be Triple G. The Glavakin-Canelo fight that everybody wants to see. Glavakin was there in attendance. A lot of people would pay big money to watch this fight. I think it's the richest fight that we could get in boxing outside of a Mayweather-Pacquiao rematch. And yes, that is still, regardless of what you feel on the first fight, regardless of how you feel about Mayweather or Pacquiao, worldwide, that is the biggest fight that boxing could make. And I still believe there's a strong possibility that those two will fight once again. Canelo Mayweather rematch has some intrigue. So it's probably the third biggest fight that boxing could make right now. And that's Canelo and Triple G. And it's not a popular opinion, but Canelo will beat Triple G. As it stands right now, I would put my money in Canelo in that fight. Triple G's exciting. He's got knockout power. That's appeal to the casual fan. Casual fans love Triple G. They love Triple G for the same reason they love Mike Tyson or loved Mike Tyson. He has that knockout power. That's what people want to see. I'm not sold on Triple G because at the end of the day, who's he beat? I know who Canelo Alvarez has stepped in the ring against. I've watched Canelo go up against elite names. Let's say, for instance, you're a casual fan listening right now. Here's the last five fights for Triple G. Dominic Wade, second round knockout. I'm not giving him any credit for that. David Lemieux. I'll give him Lemieux. I'll give him that one. Eighth round TKO. Willie Monroe. Martin Murray. Marco Antonio Rubio. That's the last five fights for Triple G. You can't compare that to what Canelo has done. Not even remotely. Give me the guy that has power walking uphill. Give me the guy that has a resume like this in his last five fights. Amir Khan, knockout victory. Miguel Cotto, that's a Hall of Famer. He easily outpointed him for 12 rounds. James Kirkland, knocked him out in the third. Arislanda Lora, it was a split decision, and I think Lora won that fight, but still, Lora's a very sound, underrated boxer. Alfredo Angulo. All the names that I just mentioned, they're household names. You know those names. And if you don't know those names, I guarantee you know Amir Khan and Miguel Cotto. So, at least there's two, and that one lost to Floyd Mayweather. That was the big story in boxing. I think the Triple G Canelo fight goes down in September. Over the first weekend of September, is that Mexico's Independence Day? That fight's going to take place. But boxing will be in the national headlines, I think, over the next little while. We talked about this briefly on the show Friday, and I'll go back to it. The Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor rumor. Because Floyd's coming back. And believe it or not, that McGregor fight, I said there was 0% chance of that happening on Friday. It looks like it's a lot more likely than what I was given it credit for on Friday. Floyd Mayweather came out over the weekend, and he didn't mention Conor McGregor by name. But a reporter at FightHype.com, who I love, by the way, it's a terrific website, asked Floyd Mayweather about Conor McGregor, and this is what Floyd said.
Floyd, you mentioned that there's a fight tonight, but you always seem to be the center of attention. They're talking about you. They have you fighting MMA fighters now. They have you doing all this stuff. How do you...
It's possible. You know, it's possible. So, you know, it was a name that was shot at me, you know, but the rumors that y'all been hearing is the rumors that I started. It may not be a rumor. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed. It may be a boxer versus an MMA fighter. So we just don't know.
Again, that was Floyd Mayweather. That sound clip courtesy of FightHype.com. Floyd saying that, yeah, there is a possibility that he would step in the ring with Conor McGregor. I don't want to see that. I'll go back to what I talked about a little bit on Friday. I don't want to see it because it's not a fight. You can't put an MMA fighter like Conor McGregor, who has okay stand-up ability, against a defensive wizard like Floyd Mayweather. A lot of people will pay for that, and a lot of people will be very disappointed. Now, Joe Rogan, who is always, you know, good to rile people up, he had his thoughts on it. And, of course, Joe Rogan has a podcast, so I can't repeat what Joe Rogan was saying word for word because there's a couple of F-bombs in there. But I think Rogan hit it right on the head. He said that if McGregor and Mayweather fought in MMA, McGregor would easily handle Mayweather, and he would. He would. But in a boxing ring, McGregor wouldn't even touch Mayweather. He's got like an inch, half inch reach on him. The only thing I could say if these two went toe-to-toe in a boxing ring is that McGregor is so unorthodox that there's a chance that he could swing and maybe he could connect. Floyd's too smart to put himself in that position. All I'm saying is that now that Canelo and Triple G looks like it's on the horizon, and we're going to continue to talk Mayweather and McGregor, the possibility of that, maybe Mayweather-Pacquiao, I think that's a whole lot more likely based on Top Rank and Al Haymon and everything that's happening there with the settlement. I think there's a great chance that we see Mayweather-Pacquiao too. Boxing is going to be in the conversation with the mainstream media. On the flip side of that, another grandfather sport, horse racing, it's back in the national media circuit for at least another month, month and a half, because we have a legitimate Triple Crown threat. And that Triple Crown threat is Nyquist. He's never lost. And the horse Mo Heyman was expected to be some of his best competition in the Florida Derby. And Nyquist just wiped the floor with him. Saturday, if you missed the Derby, Nyquist, it was a perfectly ran race. Nyquist was pretty much held back by his jockey the entire time. Around the final turn, boom, he let him go. Nyquist took a commanding lead. But Exaggerator, the horse with the second best odds, came up. And if that race is another furlong or two longer, maybe Exaggerator gets him. I think we have a rivalry brewing, but I also believe that Nyquist is a legitimate threat to become the second Triple Crown winner in as many years. And of course, anytime someone wins the Kentucky Derby, they're a legitimate threat. There's only one horse this year that can win the Triple Crown. But the two quote-unquote grandfather sports, they're going to be circulating in the national media over the next little while, and I, for one, I'm thrilled about it because I can't get enough of those two sports. We'll catch up with our good friend Steve Bordstein from Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. He'll come back on. We'll continue to talk the final two legs of the Triple Crown with the Preakness and the Belmont. And, of course, we're going to continue to talk some boxing. We do have to pause for a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NBA basketball. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports here on 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing. Just in case you thought we did the pop thing, pop tip, pop on your block or not.